I'm Rachel.
I'm Savannah.
And this is That's What She Said.
Minutes and 43 seconds into season one, episode one of The Office, titled Pilot, we are introduced to Michael Scott, the regional manager of Dunder Mifflin in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And the show opens up with him showing off his notorious world's best boss mug and explaining that he is known as the best boss.
People say I am the best boss. They go, God, we've never worked in a place like this before. You're hilarious. And you get the best out of us. I think that pretty much sums it up. Found it at Spencer Gifts.
Hello.
Hey, Savannah.
How's it going?
Happy to be here. End of the week.
I know. It's been such a long week, right?
So speaking of your week, let's do Dundies or Roasts.
Sounds good to me. So as a reminder, our Dundies and roasts are wins and losses for the week. Dundies are wins, roasts are losses. So do you want to hear my roast or my Dundee first?
Give me the roast first.
Okay, the roast. So I recently started going back to the gym, like weightlifting and stuff. And a couple days ago, I did leg day. And so now we're 2 days past and it's the worst soreness, of course.
Oh, the second day leg soreness.
Second day leg soreness,
yeah. Good for you, though. Getting back on the routine's tough.
Yeah, it's been good. But of course, the soreness is something I always have to work through. And I always forget about the soreness, you know?
Yeah, you're not a spring chicken anymore.
I know, I'm 28.
Old.
Getting up there. Okay, so my Dundee, I'm going hiking this weekend.
Ooh, love that.
Yeah, I'm hoping the leaves will be changing and things and the weather will be nice. I'm going to Crabtree Falls.
I've heard it's beautiful there. I've never been.
Yeah, I haven't either. I've just seen pictures of like the waterfall and stuff, but the views seem amazing and the weather's supposed to be good tomorrow, so it should be fun.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Tell me about your week though. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I had kind of a long week, but my Dundee is that it finally started to feel like fall here.
Yes.
I see the trees, you know, thinking about dropping some leaves, changing some colors. There's a little bit more crispness in the air.
For sure.
It's my favorite season. So that's my Dundee for the week. And I'm coaching soccer all weekend in this nice fall weather. So.
Yeah, the weather's going to be awesome for that. And also I have a follow-up question. So for those of you who didn't know, apparently I didn't know. Rachel's from New Jersey. My question is, do you feel like fall happened sooner up north? Because like I feel like usually in places where it gets colder first, that's when like fall starts first. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's not, it's, you know, pretty similar. But I do think New Jersey on average can be like 10 degrees colder.
Yeah.
So it definitely, I think the trees start turning sooner and it feels, well, but then we get like the nicer summers there, but then here it's like the winters are better, so and it's not even that drastic of a change, but
that makes sense, because I actually took my mom to Scranton for her 50th birthday and we went up there around this time and the leaves were already changed up there, so I was wondering if it was like that there too.
I love fall, so it's very exciting here for me when it goes from summer to fall. It's like nostalgic
and I love that. Okay. Do you have anything else for this week?
That's it.
Okay, perfect. So we are going to move on to our Beat or Bear segment.
All right, welcome. Today we will be discussing the very first episode of The Office, Season 1, Episode 1, titled Pilot.
Yes, and we're going to start off the show today with Beat or Bear, which is our quick round segment where we rate different plot points of the episode at hand on a scale of Beat, Bear, or Battlestar Galactica. Beats are good things, we like them. Bears are dislikes. And Battlestar Galactica is kind of that middle ground.
Or way the heck out there.
Yes, or way the heck out
there. It's not a perfect rating system, okay?
Yeah, you know, we work with what we got. So, are you ready to play Beat or Bear?
I am ready to play.
Yay! Okay, number one. Purpose of The Office, the documentary.
How it's
purpose
filmed.
Of the show. Yes, the documentary style.
I know this is why some people don't like it, but honestly, that's a beat for me.
Nice.
I like that setup.
Yeah, me too. Number two. the best boss mug
that from Michael Spencer Gifts bought for himself.
Yes.
Like, that's a hard bear for me. Yeah. I mean, it's so good for his character, mm-hmm. right? But it's like the opening episode. And mm-hmm. I'm like suspicious of anyone who uses the words best and worst. Like, okay. at like a baseline.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And then he's like claiming that he's like the world's best boss on the first day.
It's a very big claim.
That he, and he had to buy himself the mug. So there's just a lot wrapped up in it. Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Bear, I can understand bear. That. Okay. Number three. The character intros. So our first impression of them in this episode, the presentation of the, you know, the roster, essentially.
Yeah. Bear.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah.
We will definitely get into that. Number four, downsizing.
Oh, well, they're downsizing, but it's Ryan's first day as a temp. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's a bear for me.
Downsizing on your first day of work? You start hearing about that? That's...
And why are they hiring people then?
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
I have questions.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last one, Jim's playful prank relationship with Dwight.
Ooh, with the staple and jello.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a beat for
me. Iconic.
Beat.
Okay, yeah. We love to hear it. Awesome. So now we're going to take a quick break and we will deep dive into those 5 points a little bit more as an episode recap.
See you soon.
That was our guest,
Gerald.
Gerald. Thank you, Gerald, for being on the show today.
All right, so let's dive into these 5 points a little bit more as our episode recap.
Sounds good. So we're going to be starting off with the purpose of the office, the purpose of the show. What is going on here?
So it's mockumentary style, mm-hmm. which I do know that some people are adverse to, but mm-hmm. it's a mockumentary style sitcom that follows the daily lives of employees at Dunder Mifflin, which is a paper company. So yes. We all know where this is going. It's downhill, right? Like, it's like the internet age is here when the show yes. starts.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And the scene, the opening scene, like, shows us how depressing it is in this office. It's mm-hmm. got the fluorescent lighting, mm. the dying plants, the artificial plants, the, like, miserable people, right?
Yes.
We really feel like we're in the thick of that. I mean, when you're watching it.
You can see every pore on their faces.
That's so true. It's very real, for sure. But I personally love this style of show, mm. and The Office in particular, obviously. I can relate. I've worked a lot of corporate jobs, and so in this realistic style of filming, it really kind of connects the viewer to the story and the characters and stuff. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I also understand why. I mean, the show is based on a British show, right? So
yeah.
this first episode as a pilot, like, it they didn't develop it. It's based on that show.
Right.
You
and
know?
It's really almost a carbon copy of the first episode of the British version. It's kind of tweaked a little, but for the most part, like, there's some scenes that have lines verbatim from that British version.
So all that to say, I understand why it's not, like, I don't know, the most enticing for some people.
Sure, sure. Well, and I feel like the way the characters are presented, you don't really connect with them right away.
Right.
You don't find out a lot about them. There's not really a lot of background information.
Well, it's all so mundane that it's like, why would anyone watch this? I do understand that perspective.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but I understand it. We welcome all on That's What She Said.
Yes, of course, of course.
All right, so let's introduce everyone to the characters that we meet in season one, episode mm-hmm. one. So tell me about Michael Scott, Savannah.
Michael. So Michael Gary Scott is the regional manager at Dunder Mifflin, and he has been there for 12 years.
12 years.
Yep.
That's a long
time. He's been there in Scranton for 12 years. He's a goof.
He's a goof.
He's got a receding hairline.
He's very sweaty.
Yeah, sweaty is a good word.
His ties are, like, strangling him.
Choking him up.
Choking him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Michael Scott. So he's the kind of bumbling boss.
Yes. He has, like, dumb luck in the business world.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just, like, a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. we're doing this in order of appearance. So next we come across Jim Halpert.
Jim
in
Halpert.
Sales.
He is a salesman. He hates his job. Mm-hmm. He is what, late 20s maybe?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, like late 20s. But it's very clear in his talking heads that he does not care about selling paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's been there for 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time. So
he's been there for a while. And adjacent to Jim in the office, the lovely receptionist, Pamela Beasley.
Pam!
Pam!
Pam! Pam! Pamela Beasley. She's, Michael says, Pam has been with us forever. And she kind of laughs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all we know about Pam is that she likes to do illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of a dreamer, mm-hmm. or like wants to be anywhere but a mundane
but the office. Answering the phone saying, Dunder Mifflin, this is Pam.
Dunder Mifflin, this is Pam.
That was good. So her and Jim are flirty.
They are flirty. They're friends.
Yes.
But there's a lot of looks between them. There's mm-hmm. a lot of laughs.
Mm-hmm.
What fun fact does Jim know about Pam, Savannah?
He knows her favorite flavor, Yoplait yogurt, which is mixed berries.
Such a good question. I knew you'd knew that one.
So then kind of in that same little cubicle area where Jim is across from Pam sits Dwight K. Schrute. K
Dwight,
for Kurt.
Dwight Schrute, assistant to the regional manager.
To the. That's to very the. Important. Very important.
So Dwight's the kind of person who, he's kind of like the weirdo, right? He's definitely the weirdo in the office. He cares a lot about paper and selling paper, and he's
very
a
passionate.
Very loyal sidekick to Michael as well.
And to the Lackawanna County Sheriff's Department.
Where he is a volunteer sheriff deputy on the weekend.
Yes, he is, and he's very proud of that.
Dwight Schrute.
I love that he's singing the Little Drummer Boy in this episode.
Yeah.
Just like randomly. I don't think it's Christmas time or anything in this point of the episode, the seasons, but
he's just an odd dude. Like, remember he's in one of the extended scenes, he practices like picking up the phone.
Yes.
Like answering
and he's, like,
a
throwing
sales
it
call
in the air.
Shrute. Like, he just takes it all very seriously.
Yes.
And that's in contrast to Jim, who
correct
plays pranks
his
on
desk
Dwight
mate. Exactly. They're desk mates, and he's constantly playing pranks on Dwight all day long. That's what she said. And we also meet Jan Levinson Gould.
Jan from corporate.
She's from corporate in New York. She's coming to this branch specifically to talk about downsizing, unfortunately. I mean, she walks in and she just looks intimidating, personally.
Yeah, Jan's scary, for real.
She is. She is. We meet her briefly. We don't get any background or a talking head.
Well, we
head,
do
but
know. We get a talking head from Michael saying that he calls her Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yes.
And then he's like, not to her face. Well, not because I'm scared of her.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And she's called Godzillery by Todd Packer.
Ooh, tell me about this.
Yes.
This is an interesting moment in all these characters.
Yes, yes. So this occurs during a meeting between Jan, Michael, and Pam is there too, taking notes. But
Pam the receptionist?
Yeah,
taking
Pam,
physical notes in a meeting?
Yes, because Michael wants her to.
Power trip.
So they're in this meeting in Michael's office and the phone rings and Michael looks and says, oh, Todd Packer, great sales rep. And he answers the phone and puts it on speaker.
In the middle of a meeting with his
on
boss.
Speaker. And it's Todd Packer. You can't trust the man. Why would you put him on speaker?
So this is Michael's like BFF.
Yes.
That's really all we get from
their total BFF.
Yeah.
So Michael answers the phone. Todd Packer's like,
the first thing he said, no, he goes like, Pac-Man, what's up? And Todd Packer goes, what's up, you big queen?
You big queen. And of course, Jan's already rolling her eyes and he's like, is Godzillery there? And then he asks.
Asking about Jan, like, that's crazy.
Yes.
That's
and
their boss because he's a sailor. He's like
he's
the
also
traveling salesman.
Exactly. Exactly. And Michael's like, oh God, that's not professional. And then Todd Packer just keeps rolling and he's like, hey, I've always wanted to ask you, do the carpets match or the drapes? Talking about Jan. So Todd Packer, we are briefly introduced to him via that phone call.
Oh, man.
And so while this meeting's going on, we pan to accounting. It's Angela, it's Kevin, it's Oscar. They're all talking about downsizing. So tell us about Angela.
Angela is about 5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. She's blonde and looks like she's always like going to church or like a bake drive or like to volunteer for something.
Trunk or treat.
A charity bake drive.
Yes. She's very kind of snooty, uptight.
Yes.
Very like rule follower. In her talking head, she says that people don't think she's funny because she comes off as maybe emotionless and bland, but she's like, I am funny. I find things funny. Monkeys. Monkeys are funny.
And it's just random the way you said that.
She loves animals and stuff, so, I mean, I guess it kind of fits her character, but, like, it's
just very, like, finger-wagging vibes.
Yes.
So tell me about Kevin, because that's a great contrast.
So Angela is talking to Kevin in accounting about downsizing, and she's like, I feel like it's going to be me. It's probably going to be me. And he's like, it's definitely going to be you. And he's just got, like, this, like...
Kevin straight face.
Yes, this, like... Eeyore like kind of way about him, and
it's just like emotionless
monotone.
Yeah.
We learn in his talking head that he's in a band. He's like, I'm in a band.
Like, no change in expression.
Yeah
So that's Kevin.
Yep. And lastly in accounting we have Oscar, who is like this feisty guy. He's so funny.
A sassy,
he's a sassy accountant. And he talks to us in his talking head about downsizing and how it would be inconvenient because he only lives 5 minutes from the office and he doesn't want to lose that.
I feel like you always get the vibe that Oscar's like super, super smart and liberal. Mm-hmm. Like, even from the beginning, he has that, like, a little bit of like snootiness, but not the same as Angela's.
No,
Angela's
not the same.
Is like zippers up to the neck snooty.
For sure.
Snootiness, and Oscar's is like lives by the water and votes Democrat.
So Oscar. That is so Oscar. So as we're panning through the office, we end up in sales. A different section of sales
so
with Phyllis.
Jim and Dwight.
Yep, behind Jim and Dwight in another section of sales, we have Phyllis and Stanley chatting about downsizing as well. We don't really hear their conversation, but we just see them talking. And I suppose new watchers don't know it's Phyllis and Stanley yet.
Not quite yet.
But they're just chatting, and we learn more about them later on. I don't think they have talking heads in this one or anything like that.
I don't think they do either. Stanley has one look at the camera.
Yeah, and I think he does say something during a meeting in the conference room about downsizing. Which we can touch on later on, but Phyllis, I don't think we even hear from at all. Ryan Howard.
So Ryan Howard, it's his first day
as a temp at this job, and they're talking about downsizing on his first day.
And at one point he answers a phone when they're all in a meeting, and he's like hey, I don't know, it's my first day, but I heard they're thinking about downsizing. Yes. This branch like tells a client.
Yes, I just can't even imagine that. And I can't even imagine what he's thinking, seeing all of these caricatures, as you like to put it, of these people.
Definitely like side-eyeing Michael Scott 90% of the time.
Well, yes, and Michael is showing him around to all the different departments, the different people.
He's in like full suit and tie, isn't he? Like as a temp.
Yes, he totally
he
is.
He looks like a little baby.
Yes, and he just seems terrified of like what have I done, why am I working here.
Honestly, to me, he's just like, I don't know, he's more like just skeptical of like everything.
I feel like he sees right through the bullshit, you know,
like he there's a moment where he makes a joke like that he knows Michael's gonna laugh at.
Yeah.
And that for me is like, no, he's like just playing the system. Like, that's the vibe he gives me. He's not like, he's just kind
he's smart. He's pretty
smart.
Sharp.
And he's kind of a suck up. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So some other characters that we don't meet are Creed and Toby. Creed is in the background. Toby isn't even pictured in this episode.
Really?
Yeah. But so we see Creed. We don't know he's Creed yet. He doesn't do anything Creed-like yet. But
Creed,
he's
Creed.
Just there. I think Toby gets mentioned as an HR person, but not by name. Just,
is he? I can't even like picture
him. He's not
him.
There. He's not there yet. We don't see him. But the last person we do actually meet is Roy.
Roy works in the warehouse.
Yes, Roy comes up at the end of the day to get Pam. Pam is his girlfriend. Pam is the receptionist again. Shoot, I always forget. Well, it's because they've been engaged for three years this point.
Three
I
years,
forget.
People.
So,
and
Roy,
Pam does say that. She's like, we've been engaged for three years.
Yes. So Roy is one of the warehouse workers in the building, and he's dating Pam. They're engaged.
And he seems and like kind of a jerk, honestly.
He's a jerk because she asked to go out with them that evening. Hey, they're all going to Poor Richard's. Can I go? And he's like, no, let's go home. We got to get home. Like, he's just a dick.
And like, then Jim is standing there and he's like, you should come. Like, it might be fun. It's super awkward because Jim and Pam have had this flirty thing that we didn't even know Pam had a fiance.
Right. Up until this point. Roy walks and up. She's talking about it. Yeah. Pam talks about the proposal. I just want to bring this up really
quick.
Tell
me about the proposal.
So Roy proposed to her on Valentine's Day, which sounds romantic, but wait for it. He took out a fucking ad in the paper, which was likely pay by the word, because Pam says the message read, Roy love Pam. Marriage question mark? And it's just she tries to make light of it, and she's like, it's hard to find something romantic and thrifty. Like, are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
That just sets up their relationship so good, though, because that's Roy, and that's, you know, he's kind of like, he's a villain from the first episode because he's clearly in the way of Pam and Jim's perfect connection.
Right, and I feel like it's probably a terrible relationship, but Pam is in denial completely.
Yeah, she just won't stand up for herself. Like, that's her
exactly.
brand.
We wanted to talk about Kelly Kapoor, who is in customer relations. She sits in the annex with Toby and just chats his head off all day about the office gossip and popular culture. We don't see her. We don't hear her name. We don't get a talking head from her in this episode, but we do meet her very soon. And then the other one would be Meredith, and she is in supplier relations. But same thing with her. We don't hear her name. We don't see her or anything like that. No talking head. But she, again, is one of the core members.
There are also like random people too, like 1, 2, 3, or 4 extras.
Right. Yes. Extras. Exactly. And I think probably get replaced by Meredith and like maybe a couple of other people later on. But yeah, so that is our lineup. Those are all the departments of Dunder Mifflin.
The main ones are Michael, Jim, Pam, Dwight, I would say. And you could add Jane in there too, maybe.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. So that's our roster. Now you know who is who. Our next thing is going to be the best boss mug, the infamous.
Oh, we have to talk about the best boss mug.
Best boss mug.
So Michael buys that for himself.
He admits, yes, in the opening scene that he bought it for himself from Spencer Gifts or Spencer's Gifts, whichever. I want to know, like, the only Spencer's I know is a store that has odd things in it. Like, it's got like dildos hanging in the back.
Oh,
like,
and, is like, that what he's talking about?
I don't know. Oh. But it's like in high school, all the kids would be like, yeah, we went to the mall this weekend. We went to the back of Spencer's.
Maybe Spencer's Gift is like a place where you would buy like mugs and
it could,
stuff like that.
Like novelty items. Yeah for sure. Yeah. So I find that funny.
Well,
but
I love that he buys it for himself because, and he also says, people say I'm the best boss. Like,
but he doesn't say who exactly.
But immediately that's suspicious when people say, oh, people say I'm the blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, okay. Like
if you, or if you have to buy yourself the mug, like really? Right. Come on. So that mug makes a lot of appearances throughout the show and other seasons, but it's like Michael's trademark, I would say. Mm-hmm. Second to That's What She Said.
Yes. Yeah, the world's best boss. Yes. Mug, for
and
sure.
And in that opening scene.
Iconic.
Very iconic. In that opening scene with the mug, his hairline is just haunting my dreams, quite literally. Like,
it's a very obvious receding hairline in the first season. Folks,
yes.
Prepare yourself.
Yes, that's
well,
the vibe.
Well, they just make him look like, I think it's all intentionally. Like, ick, right?
It definitely is. So that's the
like,
vibe.
Doesn't he, like, impersonate Hitler at one point in this episode?
He takes the receptionist, like, desk nameplate off of her desk, Pam's desk, and uses it as a Hitler stash and marches around the office doing a Hitler impersonation on Ryan's first day. Ryan is there. And I'm just like, what?
What?
What is this?
To my point before, I do understand why. It's like, so cringy. It's, like, not funny. It's just that, like lowbrow. Am I using that word correctly? I don't know.
I think. Like, lowbrow comedy?
Yeah.
And no,
Michael
totally.
Thinks it's hilarious, and he's the boss, so everyone is, like, just rolls their eyes at him.
Right. And well, and also, my thing is, if he's such a great boss, why are they downsizing? Do we know why they're downsizing? Let's talk about
well,
that.
Jan, when Jan comes in, she says, we are downsizing your branch or Josh's branch, which is Stamford, Connecticut. Right, okay. And Michael has the, like, is Josh concerned about downsizing? No, downsizing himself, right?
Not downsizing himself, but...
just, is he concerned about downsizing? Like, I don't know. It's just, like, this awkward interaction where Jan is letting mm-hmm. Michael know that... Mm-hmm. But so I think both of their branches are pretty high performing.
For sure,
it's just
yeah.
that the paper industry is declining. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Definitely. And again, downsizing is being talked about on Ryan's first day. And like you said, why are they hiring people if they're yeah. potentially... downsizing, which he's a temp.
He's a temp.
Get paid, maybe by an agency, a temp yeah, agency.
I would say he gets paid.
Yeah.
Why would he be there if he didn't get paid? Because...
I mean, like an internship? I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. But he's like an adult, though. He's like... Well, yeah.
Is he fresh out of business school, maybe?
No, not yet.
Okay.
He's just like, he's full suit and tie. Like, he's
he
just
really
like
is
a
taking
nerd.
It seriously. Yeah. Yes. So, in this episode, we also get introduced to... The famous stapler Jell-O.
So this is a Jim Dwight special. It's
yeah.
a Jim Halpert special. Jim mm-hmm. plays a lot of pranks on fellow salesman Dwight K. Schrute. and one of the most famous ones in this episode is the stapler Jell-O. So tell yep. us about that.
Yeah, so the stapler Jell-O, Michael is standing at Dwight's desk. They're talking with Ryan. And Dwight goes into one of his drawers to grab his stapler. Or look for something. And then he notices that there is a plate of Jell-O, yellow Jell-O, with his stapler inside of it.
And doesn't he kind of go, like, damn it, and
yes,
like hit the table?
He does
Jim
do that.
Jim put my stuff in Jell-O again.
Jim put my stuff in Jell-O again. Mom. Yeah. And Michael is like laughing and they start making food jokes at this point.
Oh, yeah. Wait, it pans back to Jim and he's like eating red Jell-O.
Yes.
And he's like, why would you think I did that?
Yes.
Right?
And that's just like the irony of Jim, too. Like, he yeah. just loves to be like facetious. And they start making food jokes. I can't remember exactly what Ryan says, well, but...
I do. Can I say it?
Yeah,
so
please.
So it's Jim says, you know what, Dwight? I'm sorry, because I've always been your biggest flan.
Yes.
And Michael, like, cracks up. And then Ryan, the temp, goes, you should put him in custardy.
Custardy, that's what it is. And Michael's, like, over the moon. He's like, oh, good one, the temp.
He, like, pushes him.
He, like, pushes him really hard. And then it's, like, silent for a minute. And Michael, you could tell his, like, the hamsters in his head are turning the wheel.
The hamsters in his head.
Yeah. He's thinking real hard, and it's suddenly
the
it's just...
The wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead. He says that.
That. Yeah. But it's just, like, a blank look, and suddenly... Pudding.
Pudding.
The stutter is, like, a big piece of it, too. Like, he's thinking so hard of a comeback and a joke to add into this.
A dessert-themed
just...
joke.
Yes. And then he's like, wait a minute, I got a better one. I'm just trying to think of one. So awkward.
He's just trying so hard to be one of the gang, and he thinks like Jim is cool and Ryan's cool, and they're young men that he wants them to like idolize him, and
yes.
they just don't.
Yes, so that ends up going up in flames for Michael, and it's just so awkward. But I mean, I feel like that kind of covers the main points yep. of this episode.
So let's take a quick break and we'll come back with some trivia.
And we're back. We're going to go ahead and go through our trivia points. So we've done some background research.
Some. Emphasis on some.
Emphasis on some. These ones specifically are going to be from IMDb. The first point that we have is Angela Kinsey originally auditioned for the role of Pam Beasley, the receptionist, but the producers felt that she was too feisty, which I find hilarious, for Pam's character. And
they needed Pam really toned down.
Yeah. And so they called Angela Kinsey back for the role of Angela Martin, which she won, obviously.
Oh, interesting. Another one is that Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight Schrute, originally auditioned for the role of Michael Scott. Mm-hmm. And the casting directors liked him as Dwight Schrute and cast him in that role.
Which I think
instead.
He was perfect for Dwight Schrute.
Yes.
I
have like heard things that he's a little frustrated with playing that, or he was with being pigeonholed into that sort of like weird character.
Yes, I've heard that too, but... I think if he was Michael, it just wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah, I could see how he could do both, though. Like, I could picture that audition.
That versatility. Yeah. So Steve Carell only watched parts of the original UK pilot episode in preparation for his role of Michael Scott. He felt that the Ricky Gervais performance in the UK version was quote unquote too good and that it would influence his own performance, which is really funny. But also I love that because that means he made up a lot of Michael Scott himself, you know?
Yeah.
He filled in the gaps.
And it's interesting because the UK version that the US version is based on mm-hmm. only had one season, I think.
Yeah, like one or two, I believe. Yeah, and the U.S. version has 9.
Right, so Steve Carell didn't have to, at least at some point, do more for that character.
Yes, exactly.
So Paul Lieberstein, he's a writer for this series, and he plays Toby, right?
He's the HR.
I heard that he was suggested to play the HR director, Toby Flenderson, by B.J. Novak, who plays Ryan.
Yes. Yeah.
And later on in the show, Mindy Kaling, who plays Kelly, she's also like a producer writer on the show later on.
She definitely is. So this trivia point, and I love this scene. Jenna Fisher, who plays Pam, the receptionist, she could not stop laughing in this one scene with Steve Carell.
Ugh.
It is a scene where he is imitating the $6 million man. It's an impersonation. And she gives him a list of like missed calls or voicemails or something or people that he needs to call back. And he's like, I'll go run and do it right now. And like imitates slow motion. And he does this audio track of shut da 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 da. Shut da 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 da.
And it is like in the mic. Like,
yes, it is.
The mic for the mockumentary picks it up. So it's.
Yes.
And he's like, everyone's just watching him.
So that scene, she could not stop laughing.
Makes sense, Jenna Fisher.
And if you look at the scene, it is filmed to where you only see him and you don't see Pam, like looking at him doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So when it was filmed, she was not actually sitting at that desk because she kept breaking. Yes. So, her deadpan face was filmed when Carell was out of the room. So it does pan to her face when he's doing it, but it's filmed at a separate time.
That's hilarious. That one is so funny.
It's the best.
This is also the only episode where Michael says he has a brother.
Yeah, and we never meet him, I don't think, either. The brother.
He says his brother. Well, it's also based on the British one again. So they develop Michael Scott a lot more as a character.
Sure.
But he says, he's like, Pam says, oh, you have a message from corporate, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, how many times have I told you there's a special filing cabinet for stuff from corporate? And she's like, what? You never told me that. And he's like, it's called the waste paper basket. Darn, I messed up that delivery. But he like, and then later in front of Jan, he's like, Pam, where's this memo I'm supposed to have? Like, Jan wants me to have this memo. And she's like, you had me put it in the special filing cabinet that was the waste paper basket.
I feel like that's also reminiscent of all of Jim's emails from Michael going to his spam box. It's like very reminiscent of that.
And then Michael says, oh, my brother told me that joke and it worked well with like bills or something,
right?
But I don't think he has a brother.
I mean, he never talks about that again. We never meet the
first
guy.
And only.
Like, yeah.
They went in a different direction with Michael Scott's character.
Yeah. Another fun fact that I love about this show is that this entire first season was actually filmed in an office building in L.A. In Los Angeles. Not even in Scranton.
Not in Scranton.
At all. Which makes you wonder, like, all the scenes where they're outside and it looks cold. It's like, are you actually sweating under that trench coat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or maybe they moved to Scranton. I don't know.
They might have done some in Scranton, but I mean,
not
for this first season. Yeah,
office.
For this first season, it's
little,
in L.A.
A little disappointing,
I know,
will say.
I know.
So as we've alluded to throughout these trivia points, the first episode is a verbatim reworking of the first episode of the Ricky Gervais British series, right? So the U.S. writer Greg Daniels made some tweaks to it to make it more quote-unquote American.
Yeah.
And then the pilot episode got some criticism for being, like, the exact same as the British original.
Yeah, I remember trying to watch the British version, and it just does not hit the same for me personally. But that first episode, there are certain lines that are, like, verbatim the same. Between the two. Yeah, which is really interesting to me.
I like that I mean, I think maybe that's why the first season's a little harder for me to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like almost too dry, but right. It's just, it sets up the characters pretty well.
It does. Well, and I feel like that's also British humor. I feel like it tends to be a little drier. Right. Welcome to our Coal Walk segment. This was the brainchild of a concept from The Office, the Coal Walk at Beach Games.
Beach Games. I love that episode. Yes.
So this is our hot takes opinions about the episode that we covered today. So we're going to get into that.
All right. So Savannah, take me on a coal walk for the pilot episode of The Office.
Yes. Yes. Let's go on a coal walk. Burn those toes. So my coal walk is that we only get introduced to a portion of the characters, which we touched on when we went through everyone, but this is why I feel like people don't get hooked right away, because they don't feel a connection to the characters in that first episode, and it's hard for them to find a reason to watch, watching.
I get that.
And, there isn't really a whole lot going on plot-wise. We don't get to see the charisma, chemistry, and personalities of everyone quite yet.
Right.
We're still learning how the dynamics are working,
Right.
And it kind of makes for a slow burn in a way, mm-hmm. which is fine. I can appreciate that.
A slow burn.
Yes. But, I just kind of wish that it was a little more enticing to new watchers, because I want people to watch The Office, obviously.
Right.
But it's hard to get into. And I think that if the characters were more
fleshed out,
in a different way.
Honestly, if Creed was in there, like, I think
that would have sold sell anybody.
Yeah.
So that's my coal walk. I would love to know yours.
So I actually have two coal walks this week. Yes.
Let's hear it.
So they're both like quick little like hops over the stones.
Okay.
So one is that in one scene when Michael's talking to Pam, there's an employee of the month plaque behind him.
Yes.
And later on in the series, Jim and Dwight start an employee of the month.
Okay.
And
as if they didn't have it before.
For the first time ever. They're like, oh, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
So that's my little baby co-walk. My other hot take for this episode is that Michael and Dwight's friendship is kind of cute.
Honestly, it is. Because, like, Dwight is, like, the teacher's pet type.
Yes.
And Michael loves that kind of attention.
Yes.
He tries to act like he doesn't, but he really does.
Well, he tries to act like he's better than Dwight sometimes.
Yes.
And they are icky. Like, I will say
for
that.
Sure.
They're kind of gross. And Dwight's obviously just trying to, like, please Michael. It's
yes.
this weird relationship.
Yes.
But hot take, I think it's kind of cute because they, like, play basketball together. And then they go to work together.
Yeah.
And they, like, back each other up. Well, yes. Dwight backs up Michael. It's not
all
a two-way street right now.
Yeah.
And Dwight loves his job where Michael's his boss. So.
And Michael loves his job. So they're passionate about Dunder Mifflin. Yeah.
Yes, so that is my coal walk for this episode.
I love that. Well, that is the end of our episode. But before we go, we are going to award some Dundies to this episode. Do you want to share yours first?
Okay, so I give this episode the Dundie for the shortest kept secret. Michael is told by his boss, Jan, in private that there may be downsizing and their Scranton branch may get downsized or the Stamford, Connecticut branch.
Mm-hmm.
He is also told not to tell anyone.
So naturally,
there's gossip in the office this whole episode. And towards the end of the episode, so, not even 10 minutes after we see Jan tell him not to tell anyone about downsizing, he holds a meeting about downsizing.
Yes, in the conference room.
So it's obviously just the worst waste of time. And he just, everyone's like freaking out about losing their jobs.
Uh-huh.
And as the manager, he is not doing much to instill confidence in his employees.
Yes, and a favorite line from this scene, just have to share. He's talking to Stanley. Stanley's all worried, and Mike, and he's like, we need to know that we can trust you, Michael. And Michael's like, you can trust me. I'm on your side. We're like family. Ain't nobody gonna be messing with my chillins. And Stanley, St- Stanley just rolls his eyes.
Well, Stanley like looks at the camera and then I think it cuts back to Michael and and it's silent and someone just like coughs. So it's so like awkward. The most awkward thing. But yeah, the Dundee I give this episode is the shortest kept secret, which is saying something once you get to know Michael Scott.
That's true. I love that. That's a great Dundee. So my Dundee for this episode is going to be worst prank.
Oh, I like it.
So we have a lot of pranks to choose from in this episode. We've got the two instances of the Jell-O, the stapler, and the mug.
The world's Jell-O. Best boss mug.
Yes.
Jim is notorious for putting things in Jell-O in this office.
Yes.
Little prankster.
And we have the wall of boxes between Jim and Dwight that Jim builds on their desk, and also the fence of pencils. You know, there are quite a few things.
Jim just antagonizes Dwight all day with pranks.
Him like crawling away to reception and Dwight's talking to nobody. Like there's just so many to choose from. However, the worst one that occurs, and by worst, I just mean cringy and like just a horrible thing to do. It was done by Michael to Pam. He fake fires her. He fake fires her. So,
oh my gosh. Yes. And it's a prank. Yeah.
And so Michael and Ryan are in Michael's office chatting and Pam knocks and he's like, oh, it's Pam. Ryan, let's play a prank on her. Have you seen Punked? And so then he's like, let's play a prank on her. Be in on this with me. And so Pam comes in and Michael's like, oh, join us, come on in. And he's talking about downsizing to Pam. He's like, you know, this downsizing is happening and I hate to break it to you, but it's you. We gotta get rid of you.
Downsized, Pam.
Yeah. Boom, downsized. And so Pam is like in shock and she's like, what did I do? I don't understand. And he's like, theft.
He was like,
you stole.
The best part is we won't have to pay you severance.
So terrible to say to somebody. Yes. And she's like, what did I steal? Like, I'm so confused. And he's like, post-it notes. And she's like, what are those, like 50 cents? And he's like, yeah, but you steal enough and you're making a profit.
It adds up.
Yeah, it adds
up. And she's
up.
Like crying, right? She starts like bawling
her
eyes out.
She's really upset.
Hiding from the camera.
Yes, really upset. And Michael, of course, is like, oh no, like what have I done? He realizes he's taken it too far and he doesn't know how to backtrack now.
Aren't they sitting there in silence?
Sitting next to each other, yes.
And then Ryan's on the other side?
Yes, exactly. And Ryan is witnessing this, of course, which has got to be the worst thing possible.
On his first day. And doesn't Michael go like, gotcha, or something?
Yes.
You've been next, punk. It was
and
a joke.
Pam's like, we were crying. Yes. And she's like, what the hell? And she goes, you're a jerk. And she walks out.
And then Michael's like, oh, yeah.
He was like, that was a little harsh.
And Ryan's just sitting there. Oh, okay. That's definitely the worst prank.
It's so bad.
It's so cringy.
It's so terrible. So that's my Dundee's worst prank for Michael's fake firing of Pam. That wraps up our entire show for this episode. Please feel free to send us your beats and bears or your Dundies and roasts for your week. You can send those to us via email at whatshesaidpod.dm@gmail.com or on Instagram. You can DM us at whatshesaidpod.dm as in Dunder Mifflin so that we can share those on the show. We're looking forward to some listener mail, hopefully, and sharing those. So
also write us if you want to be a guest and claim your episode.
We are curating a guest list. I already have 3 people who signed up episodes. So there's someone on Instagram who follows you and she called Phyllis's wedding. One of my friends called dinner party. And then our friend Kate called CPR.
So
those are taken.
Let us know if you want to do an episode.
Yes.
We can think about a group episode. Just let us know what you want to talk about. We love talking about The Office,
exactly.
Obviously.
If we have enough people wanting to do the same episodes, like I know dinner party and CPR will be really popular. So just let us know and we look forward to doing that. So you ready to sign off?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thanks guys.
That's what she said.